SBS Radio.
I am Bertrand Tungandame on NIT Radio, and I'm in conversation with University of South Australia's PhD candidate, Catherine Frances McBride, and Noongar woman Vicky Wade, a leading heart health advocate and senior cultural advisor. And we are talking about a recently published study highlighting the need for a new model of health delivery and care in partnership with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women and communities. A significant life expectancy gap remains, with cardiovascular disease the leading cause of death for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women, responsible for almost 20% of this gap. Yet Aboriginal women's perspective is hardly ever considered in multiple government policies. First of all, Catherine, tell us about the prevalence of heart disease in the community, especially among Aboriginal women.
Heart disease is the biggest killer for Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal people right across Australia. It's the major driver of the gap in life expectancy that we see. And when we talk to women across communities, we know that heart disease has a really huge impact on communities, on families, and on individuals, impacting on the way that people are able to live their lives every day. We know that for women as leaders of community, as carers and nurturers, that having to live a life with heart problems, with heart disease, really reduces their capacity to fulfill that role in community and in family. The way that services currently respond to or consider the way that we prevent or protect people's hearts is very much based around clinical factors like blood pressure and cholesterol, and behavioral factors like nutrition and physical activity and smoking. Now, what that doesn't tell the story of is the very much strength-based narrative of health from an Aboriginal perspective or conceptualization. And using that clinical and behavioral frame, there's a real narrative of deficit and illness and bad behavior that plays out within the Western medical context, which we know is not what happens in communities. We know communities really, you know, care about their health and the health of their families and communities. But the way that the health system responds doesn't think about that broader understanding of health, and particularly the social and emotional aspects of health and health understanding.
Vicky, can you tell us about the importance of taking into account the Aboriginal women's perspective in tackling this issue of cardiovascular diseases? Because women play a very important role in health outcomes, especially Aboriginal women.
It's really important that you get the Aboriginal women's perspective and what it means to them. As an Aboriginal woman, you have certain cultural obligations that you have to do. So you often will put your own health last, put that health of your children first. You also rely on some community members to help you also. So the cultural aspect is really important. And as Kat was saying, health systems to date have been built up on that Western, the biological model, where they really have almost viewed culture in a negative way, that culture is a barrier to give good care. But if you, like we have done in the study and in Kat's PhD, is that we've looked at it from a strength-based, a resilience, a powerful tool. So culture can be a powerful enabler of good care if it's done right, but it's always put down as this negative, a barrier to care. Often a patient will come in to a heart ward and they'll be known as a myocardial infarction, which is a heart attack. So, you know, there's a heart attack in room five, but in room five, that person has a culture and they live in specific economic and social circumstances. And I think if we continue along the line of not looking at that person holistically, not looking at the social, the cultural environment that they live in, we won't close the gap in heart health. We have to look at the culture, what is the person, what the circumstances, the community they're going to go back into. I'll give you an example of a woman that I looked after many years ago in the heart ward that she just wanted to go home, and the doctors put her up as non-adherent. So I said, look, we have an Aboriginal liaison officer at the hospital. Go and get them and talk to her, because I was too close to the patient. So they got the Aboriginal liaison to talk to that person, and she was worried. She was a carer for her grandchildren. So she just wanted to go home because she was scared her grandchildren would be taken away if she wasn't there. So the health system not only has been void of culture, but it has also been built on government policies that have discriminated against Aboriginal people. So particularly Aboriginal women, with that very nurturing and their obligation to look after children, grandchildren, they could get frightened when they go into hospital that children are going to be taken away. So past government policies impact Aboriginal women's decision and seeking care. So all these things, a doctor, a cardiologist coming to look at, you know, Mrs. Brown in room 6 would not know this, would not know these social circumstances, the culture of the person. So really important that from this study that Kat's done, and from us being able to publish in the journal, is that we're hoping people will now look at more of the person rather than the illness. So the holistic care and the holistic view of that person.
I guess modern medicine looks mainly at administering medication and looking at the numbers. Number 5 got this kind of chemical in their system, and they were out of the system within 2, 3, 4 days' time. But then things, as you just stressed, like grief, the past government policies as well, because I've had conversations with other women, especially those who've experienced and the ongoing child removals, which is extremely worrying in many circumstances. Well, some people might not see the consequences on other health outcomes of the people, the women especially, who bear the weight of raising their kids and their families.
And there is still a lot of racism in hospitals. And although we say to have cultural awareness training, I think that's one component of it, but I think the whole health system needs a big review if we want to close the gap in heart health for women, particularly, you know, these things I was talking about. But it needs a lot of reform. The health system needs to reform. And almost you would, as an Aboriginal woman, I would want to say it needs to be held accountable because of the way it's been built and continues to be built. You know, it continues to have, you know, a fair bit of discrimination and racism, unconscious bias, and things need to be in code of conducts for nurses without people getting squirmish when you mention white privilege, as what happened recently. But, you know, the code of conduct and health systems reform. But the other part of it, Bertrand, is the way that Kat has done her research to get the lived experience of women to inform health systems is what is needed. And then the women co-design the models and the work that needs to health systems to change. So it's an ideal way that Kat has done this research, is to get the lived experience of women and health systems. They can't argue with the lived experience. You know, it's up to the woman when she feels safe if she goes into hospital, that cultural safety is in the eyes of an Aboriginal woman. So we having the lived experience through an Aboriginal reference group, Aboriginal women reference groups with that have lived it is, I think, a really powerful way that Kat has done this research. Yeah.
And Catherine, are you running this research? You're running it with 28 Aboriginal women. Is it Aboriginal women from right across Australia or from one specific geographic area? Just tell us about this research, because and the research method you're using.
We're working with women across South Australia and in into Central Australia, so particularly the APY lands and up to Alice Springs. So basically the research came from working with communities here in South Australia around understanding what the big gaps and challenges around caring for Aboriginal people's hearts were a couple of years ago. And the big two things that came out were a focus from community saying we need to focus on prevention, we need to be looking after our hearts before they get sick, turning up in hospital was too late. So there was a really strong message that we needed to work on keeping people's hearts healthy from a very young age. And the other thing that came out from that work was a really clear message, particularly from the doctors and the nurses, that they were talking about heart disease affecting young Aboriginal men, but they weren't talking about the burden that Aboriginal women were experiencing. And yet we were looking at information, data from the health service that was telling us that there were a lot of women who were turning up sick in hospital with heart disease. And so when we presented this information back to the community, they said, well, this is really something that needs to be brought to light, and we need to be supporting our women as the nurturers and carers and leaders of our communities to make sure their hearts are strong. So that work was done in South Australia, and so we worked with the community, and we had a community reference group who led that work. We worked with the community to say, okay, so if we think about that, the importance of women's hearts and that prevention message, what is some information, what is some work that we can do to make sure that we do get the right picture out there? And community came back and said, what we really need to understand is what Aboriginal people's understanding and conceptualization of heart health is. And then we can do other things like understand how the health services are using or what information they're using to shape the way that they provide their services. And then is there something that we can take from all of that to say, how can we do this better for women's hearts? This work that has just been published in Heart, Lung and Circulation, which is an Australian cardiac or heart journal, which is read by lots of cardiologists and cardiac nurses and people who care for people's hearts. The paper that's just been published in this journal is looking at the first piece of work that we did as part of this bigger research question around women, how do we protect women's hearts? When we developed up a question, I brought together a Aboriginal Women's Advisory Group, of which Vicky is on. So there's six Aboriginal women with lived and professional experience of heart disease and stroke on that group. We brought the group together and said, okay, how would we go about talking to women in community about what keeps the heart strong? And we decided that we would go out and approach women's groups who were already existing and have the discussion, say, look, we'd like to have a yarn with you about this stuff. Is this something that you'd be interested in? And how would you like to go about having a discussion? So we went to a number of women's groups across South Australia and Central Australia, and five of those groups were interested in having more of a yarn. And we sat down and talked about how the research would be done, what was really important for the women in terms of making sure that their stories were heard the right way, that the information was brought back to those women, and that the information that came from this research and the knowledge that comes from it actually makes a real difference in terms of caring for women's hearts. So we had those discussions, and then we sat down and said, okay, are you still keen on having a yarn about, you know, what's important for you to keep your heart strong? How would you like to do that? All of the groups said, what we'd really like to do is sit down and just have a yarn as a group. I mean, yeah, that's the way we do it. So that's what we did. We talked about how those stories would be recorded, whether they'd be voice recorded or video recorded, whether they'd, you know, the group would do some artwork as part of that storytelling. So we sat down and we listened to those stories. And so there were five groups and 28 women who were involved in those yarning circles. And then we came back, went through the stories that we'd heard, started to pull out some of the important messages that we thought we were hearing. we sat down as with that advisory group and went back through that. And then we took it back to the women, to the women's groups, and said, have we got the right message? Have we missed anything? Is there anything you want to add to this story? There wasn't much that was added. Listening to their stories again kind of tweaked a couple of things, and we added a few more things, but not much. We basically had the basic message right. And then the Aboriginal Women's Advisory Group came back together and sat down and wrote a narrative of what they were hearing from those women. That is the work that we've just published.
Yeah, and what were the key recommendations and what were the key messages that came out of these conversation, I would say, and stories?
The key message is if we continue along the same journey, we're not going to close the gap. That's the biggest key message that we can get. So if we continue doing what we're doing, caring for Aboriginal women with heart disease, stroke, we're not going to close the gap. We need to put, as we were saying, that cultural lens and the lived experience into it. The things that enable good care and enable people to look after their hearts are the protective factors, and that's connectedness, people to know the social circumstances, to know the culture, the connectedness to country, your identity, the cultural identity. Aboriginal people want to be healthy. They don't want to be unhealthy. So how do we incorporate these protective factors into what we do within health systems? I think they are important messages. And one of the other things is the things that I think really make Aboriginal women feel unhealthy and their hearts weak and not strong is unfortunately what goes along with being an Aboriginal woman. So the grief, the loss, the trauma, the stress. So that has to be recognised too. One of the beauties that we could take from this, and one of the key messages I was thinking, is to turn the trauma, so it's almost like a trauma-informed framework, but put that around to healing. So that would be one of the big messages we could take out of that. And when you look at a healing model and a healing framework, the language you use is strength-based, it's not deficit. So to me, that's important if we want to change and close the heart health gap for Aboriginal women, that those things are taken into account.
One of the things, Bertrand, that I always think about is women said very strongly that the heart is the core of their spiritual and physical being. And the connectedness, like people quite often talked about the grief and loss associated with having someone pass and the impact. And, you know, a lot of women said, you know, someone passed in their family and then 2 weeks later they had a heart attack. And that was quite a common narrative. So the emotional and spiritual stress that and the impact that has on the physical heart. One woman summed it up beautifully. She said, the heart isn't just an organ in your human body. It's a very, very spiritual connection to your emotions. I don't see the human body as just a physical thing. It's the casing to our spiritual being. And that really describes it. I mean, we need to get much better at caring for people's spiritual heart as well as the physical heart.
Yep.
I think the other thing that women really talked about, you know, we know that there are risk factors of heart disease like high blood pressure and cholesterol and that is influenced by what you eat and how you exercise. But the things that drive those decisions often aren't controlled by women. They're controlled by the context in which they live in, what's available at the shops, how expensive is it, are they actually able to get out and spend time walking, getting physical activity? Do they have too many other priorities in terms of caring for family and community that mean they don't do that? And so we need to, as a health system, stop thinking about individual blame and support and enable people to find other ways of doing that and fix the things that mean that, you know, remote communities, food prices are 20 times higher than what you get in, you know, metro cities. There are pretty simple things that we can do to fix this. It's not about individual behaviours. It's about the way that people are able to take control and care for their heart.
a healthy diet is not sometimes a choice. It's just what's available and what you're capable of getting. So it's the availability and the cost. And
I've got to acknowledge that this research, the women who have supported this are incredible. I feel immensely privileged to have been able to hear their stories and listen to them and tell another story that will hopefully change the way that health systems provide care for Aboriginal women. So I am eternally indebted to those women. So thank you to those, and also to the Aboriginal Women's Advisory Group who have driven this work, have guided me the whole way through. I would never have been able to do it without them. This work was funded by the National Health and Medical Research Council, which is a government body that funds health and medical research across Australia. I think it's quite cool that they're funding something like this, and they're funding something that doesn't sit in a hospital or a science lab. And as a University of South Australia student, I'm also incredibly privileged to be supported by the Aboriginal Health Equity Unit at the South Australian Health and Medical Research Institute. They've taken me under their wing. They support me the whole way through, and I'm very privileged to work in such an amazing place with such incredible oversight and guidance by senior Aboriginal researchers and people. I've got to say thank you. This isn't my work, it's the work of everyone who's involved. Vicky and I both would say this, that looking after your heart is really important. You know, as another woman said, if your heart's not beating, we're not here. For anyone listening, the health guidelines recommend that people get a heart check every 2 years if you're over 20 years old. This is a free thing that you can go and get at your GP or your Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Service. Be proactive, ask for it, ask what the test results are, ask what they mean, and ask if that's a good result or a bad result, and what you need to do to keep your heart healthy. Yep. I think is a really key message that came out of this. The women told us they wanted to be empowered around how to look after their heart, and getting that information out of the doctor, out of the Aboriginal health worker, out of the nurse that you see is really important, and therefore actually pushing sometimes to ask those questions, to get those answers, is really important.
And I think, Bertrand, just to build on what Kat had said, is that Aboriginal people are very sceptical of research because we've been researched to death, really, and past policies of even, you know, like measuring skulls and taking skulls of our leaders like Pemulwuy and Yagan and our warriors in the past for research. So we really have a bitter taste in our mouth around research. I think the way to break down some of that barriers is to have Aboriginal people in co-developing and co-designing research. Aboriginal people are involved in the research from the beginning, not at the end for a tick box, but their perspective and their helping develop the research method as you go along is a way, I think, that we're going to change basic research from a Western epistemology into an Indigenous epistemology, because we have our own knowledges and our own knowledge base and the ways of being, doing and living in the world. And this has to come into the research agenda and the research methods. And the way that Kat has done is perfect to break down even research around Western epistemologies now into Indigenous ways of being, doing and knowing. It'll be much more powerful and it'll be much more meaningful to Aboriginal people, and we're more likely to get behind the research and the research to say, this is great, this is what we wanted.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.